And 826, please.
Authorize a contract with Dangermon Keen Architecture LLC to provide planning, design, and construction administration services for improvements to Forest Park Entry and Nature Center at a not-to-exceed amount of $1,653,240.
Okay, more good news from the Parks Bureau. Good morning.
Exactly. Good morning.
Oh, you got a PowerPoint, yes.
Yep. Thank you. Mayor Hills and members of council, my name is Lauren McGuire. I'm the Capital Projects Team Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. And yes, we have more good news. With me is Britta Herwig, the Capital Project Manager for Forest Park Entry and Nature Center. We're here today to provide you with background information on an exciting new project that is developed out of our Parks Renew Forest Park initiative and to request council approval for the design contract with Dangermon Keen Architects in the amount of $1,653,240. That's for the design of the entrance to Forest Park. Forest Park is considered the crown jewel of Portland's park system since it forms a green backbone of the city. The 5,200-acre park provides habitat for over 180 species of birds and mammals. It offers Portlanders respite from the bustling city, and it serves as an outdoor classroom for environmental education and research. With its massive tree canopy, substantial undergrowth, and extensive waterways, the park serves as a natural air purifier and also water collector. It offers 100 miles of recreational trails, including the 30-mile Wildwood Trail, which is part of the region's 40-mile loop system that links the Forest Park to pedestrian trail routes throughout the region. Parks recognizes the need for a multi-pronged strategic investment vision to ensure the legacy of Forest Park, so that holistic vision is called Renew Forest Park. It consists of Restore Forest Park, which is an effort to transform the park's ecological health by removing invasive plant species and restoring native plantings in their place. It includes Rebuild Forest Park, which is an effort to rebuild several of the bridges and the culverts in the park, and then the reason we're here today, which is the third prong, the Reconnect Forest Park, and that's an effort to create a recognizable entry point for the visitors to discover information about the park's rich ecology, to access the trails, and to provide opportunities to engage in stewardship and educational programs. Parks has acquired key pieces of property near the intersection of Northwest Yan, Highway 30, and Northwest Kittredge. The site is north of downtown and just southeast of the St. John's Bridge. It's a site that was identified in the 1995 Forest Park Natural Resources Management Plan as a potential park entrance. This approximately 4-acre site is located adjacent to Forest Park to the west and the Guild's Lake Industrial Sanctuary to the east, and offers a trail connection to Fire Lane and the Leif Erickson Trail. The goals for the Forest Park entry design contract are to create a new entry design and program that offers superlative contemporary design, complementing the park's natural beauty and linking it with the new entry's urban and industrial location to provide a rich and inviting visitor experience, to develop flexible design priority and phasing plan that facilitates implementation in phases as funding becomes available, to define mechanisms and identify partnerships with a business plan that will ensure that the entire project can be realized, and then to complete a significant construction project including as many of the proposed site and program elements as possible.
Can you hold this slide for a second?
I can.
Is that the entrance in the middle part on the bottom, or is that a work of art, or
that's
both?
That's just a concept of what it could be. At this point, we have not designed the entrance, but these are some of the images from Dangermon Keen's proposal of what it could be. So Britta Herwig, working with Dangermon Keen Architects and their design team, will create a forward-looking design for the introduction and entrance to Forest Park that showcases the park's special character and its importance to Portland and the greater region. The elements for the park include a new park site entrance, visitor amenities such as a bicycle and pedestrian trailhead, accessible circulation and trails, parking, a scenic overlook and gathering space, perhaps an amphitheater, a structure housing a nature center, office and maintenance facilities, a restroom, and natural and landscape and wetland plantings. The project funding is through SDCs, as well as some substantial funding provided by the state. We will complete a public process, and the design team will reach out to the public in creative and different ways to engage traditional as well as new users for our park. We hope to fully explore opportunities for a visionary entrance to the park and an exciting space for education and interpretation. Parks has prioritized developing lasting relationships with those potential new users, and they include people of the immigrant, refugee, low-income, and diverse communities, as well as the residents of North and East Portland, and those just across the St. John's Bridge. So our purpose today is to ask Council to approve the professional technical expert services contract with Dangerman Keene Architects in the amount of $1,653,240 for the design of the Forest Park Entry and Nature Center project. The contract amount assumes a full service design for the construction project of the $10 to $15 million, which will include all of the desired program elements I just talked about. The design contract can be reassessed and scaled down after the completion of the initial schematic design phase, which we anticipate will be at the end of the year. If the actual phase one construction project includes fewer elements, we'll scale down their contract accordingly. Any unused fees at that point will be put towards the construction of the project. So now we're anticipating design 2016-2017, start of construction in 2018, and completion in 2019. Thank you for your time. We'd be happy to take any questions.
So I've got one question, and that is maybe if you could go back to your slide that shows the site in the area. This may already be settled. Yeah, there you go, the one with the circle. So we own the 4 acres that you've circled there, right?
Right, correct.
We don't own the property to the north that would extend to Highway 20.
To Highway 30, right.
Sorry, Highway 30. Mm-hmm. This question may already be settled, but if it's not settled, is it a potential element of the scope of work or a potential amendment to the scope of work? And that is, if we're going to spend $1.5 million to design this facility and we're going to spend $10 million to build it, and Forest Park is finally going to have a definable entrance, right? Because that's been the problem with Forest Park, which you're trying to solve. It's just a great park, but it's surrounded by neighborhoods and there are dead-end streets and anecdotal entrances that people know about, but there's no there for right. most people. So this is the chance to finally create it there. But it doesn't quite reach to Highway 30. So is acquisition of the adjacent site to the north a potential element of the project and in the scope of work for the design architects, or are we saying, la, 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 we're only dealing with the land we own?
It's not in the scope of work currently. We had done our natural resources plan and identified this particular site, but I'll let Britta speak further about that.
So I do think that we will keep looking for other entrances, but we have to start somewhere, and this site is actually a fairly good-sized site. I know there have been some negotiations with the neighbors on either side, and so far as I understand, right now there isn't the opportunity to purchase additional land.
What that business is to the north there, I don't even remember what it is, but there's industrial stuff here, there, and everywhere.
Right.
It's an industrial neighborhood, so exactly. Of course there's industrial stuff, but there's industrial stuff here and there everywhere around the site. I guess I just wanted to raise the question of, mm-hmm. Go big or go home.
Sure.
That if we're going to finally do this, let's do it right. If that requires spending a little more money and acquiring some property, I for one am not scared off by that prospect. I suspect others wouldn't be either.
Yeah. The first phase of the project is a feasibility study, essentially, and will identify the constraints and the opportunities of the site and of the area, and we'll definitely explore some bigger picture way beyond the site ideas to get people to come to the site and
there are,
it as the entrance.
There are, for example, parks with strange inholdings in our system. You know them very well. If at some point in the past some other city council had said, we're going to bite the bullet and buy that property, you'd have a better park to work with today. So I guess I just want to flag that. Every now and then, you know, there's an opportunity to get it right the second time or the third time. I don't know if that applies to this situation or not, but just looking at your site plan, it raised the question for me as a former parks commissioner. Boy, it's too bad we didn't. And we just settled a crazy issue like this with the police bureau having an inholding inside of one of our precincts. So, you know, it was expensive, but in the long run, it's worth it.
Thank you for that comment.
So how many parking spaces will this have?
Good question. We're not 100% sure at the moment. I think our target, you want to?
So our target is pretty rough. It's between 20 and 40, and we'd like bus parking also. But it's a very hilly site, so we'll have to just take a look at the site analysis and see what we can fit. And if we can't fit 40-plus buses, what our alternatives might be.
Did you say
between 40. 20 and 40
spaces.
Spaces.
So a four acre piece of property,
right.
The entrance to Forest Park, right. 20 to 40 spaces sounds really, really low.
That's correct.
What's the potential? I mean, what is the potential for parking there?
Well, it, like I said, so physically the site is on a very steep slope. And we have any number of other issues that we have to explore, wetlands and tree canopy, and we're going to be exploring those, and we'll see what the maximum envelope is that we can allocate for parking. If we can't allocate parking on the site, we'll look at other ways to get people to the site. It may include, I mean, it has a really good bus connection. It has a bicycle connection that goes directly there, so we have options, and we'll be looking at all of this. We're just starting the design process, so unfortunately, I don't have all the
answers. I do hope this will not be governed by sort of the, you know, the fashionable anti-parking chic, because you're trying to design something that's really going to work for people who want to use Forest Park. And everybody knows every entrance to Forest Park is jam-packed with people parked accessing the park.
Correct.
So I really hope it's not going to be governed by this anti-parking chic.
No.
Okay.
So initially,
I'd like a report back as the design evolves.
We certainly
and
can do that.
I guess the other thing I wanted to suggest is, how about looking at lock boxes so people could leave their valuables in a lock box? Because otherwise we're going to have cars clotted.
Or security cameras.
It seems there's ways you can do that, just like, you know, for a day use only type thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'd like to see that looked at and get a report back how that fits into the design.
Good. We can
ask
do that.
A little bit about the public involvement process. First of all, what's the budget for the public involvement process?
So we have internal staff at Parks and Rec who's going to handle a substantial amount of the outreach process. And then Dangerman Keene has an outreach consultant, sub-consultant, who we will be working with, and their budget is $78,000, I believe.
So I guess it begs the question, if you're building an entrance to Forest Park, and I'm looking at page 14 of your stakeholder list, it looks like the most comprehensive list of city organizations, nonprofit groups, people. What's the value you've identified by having 50 stakeholders helping you define the entrance at this particular location? And what's the precedent?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, you've got the Slavic Coalition, you've got NEA, you've got APANO. You're going to be managing a lot of different organizations. What's the goal, since you're designing an entrance to Forest Park? What's the goal to have all of these people engaged, and what will success look like?
So in our mind, this is both a destination site as well as a gateway site, and Portland consists of many different users. And it's a site that sits on one side at an industrial area, and on the other hand, we have a great natural resource, and each of these areas come with their own stakeholder groups. So one of our goals is to bring those groups together as much as we can to find a commonality, both for a destination as well as for gateway. We also think that we have a lot of users that don't even know that they would like to use that park, so we're reaching out to other groups. The list that you have is a very comprehensive list of everyone that we can think of, and we're working on, or once we start the design contract, we'll be working on paring down the questions to the individual groups. Our goal is to make this as accessible to as many people as we can.
Right. If here's my experience in housing and parks. If you bring a stakeholder group of 50 to 100 organizations, you're going to get 50 to 100 different visions. Who's driving the vision for the design? Are you hiring? Do you intend to hire a designer who presents a vision and gets feedback, or is this going to be a vision by committee?
So typically, the way our design process works is we have the designer come up with different ideas based on an initial meeting with the larger community, where we ask for their input about the kind of elements they want, and then we have the designer go back and do several different arrangements of what that might look like. Then we bring that to the community or the groups and say, you know, what's your opinion of these different concepts? And then we go from there. And the most popular concept that hits the most features that we would like to incorporate, then we take that information and reform the design.
So is this part of the design component or part of a broader outreach to engage people around Forest Park?
Both.
It's both. So we don't have, for this project, we don't have a master plan. The most recent document we have is the 1995 Natural Resources Management Plan.
Right.
So, and that gave us a very broad spectrum of things that should be accomplished on this site in order to meet Forest Park goals. And so we're taking a very broad approach to outreach to see, A, are these goals still current? Are there new goals that we don't know about that have come up in the past 20 years? And
with
then we'll do
the
basically...
Forest Park Management Plan?
No, with respect to Forest Park and the goals that were outlined in that plan for this particular site and for Forest Park, yes.
Well, that's a different, but that's an entirely different proposition. That's. I mean, I'm all for updating the management plan, but not through the back door of a gateway to Forest Park. So, to the extent you're bringing two or three different things together into one, I can't support that. And the management plan is a very carefully calibrated document, which, as you know, is under a lot of stress right now around off-road cycling. If we're going to update the management plan, that has to be totally separate, in my mind, from any process around a new entrance.
So that's not the purpose of this project at all. I think what Britta was referring to was the goals that are relative to the entry that are in the management plan, not the management plan itself. We're not updating the management plan.
So it's not spilling over to the management
plan?
No, not at all.
I still have the scars. I understand there's a lot of people who deeply are committed to that plan.
Correct.
And if we're going to open up the plan.
No. Okay, so you're not opening up the plan.
No.
But the plan did say that.
Every parks commissioner up here knows what I'm talking about, parks commissioner.
No, we're not talking about that at all.
So yep. I misunderstood you.
Okay.
You're not reopening the management plan. You're trying to interpret it.
Further it.
Exactly.
And with a broad group of stakeholders.
Correct.
So that raises another question. And I'm sure Apano has strong views about this entrance. But I know the Forest Parks Conservancy has stronger views. Why aren't they listed as a stakeholder?
They are. The Forest Park Conservancy.
Show me where they are.
Is like our number one stakeholder. If they're not on your list, then that's a gross omission on our part.
Well, you have a whole page on 14, and they're not listed.
I'm not sure exactly.
In the ordinance cover sheet on number 5, the citizen participation, Forest Park Conservancy is the first item. The first group that we listed. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking at.
I'm looking at Exhibit A. The work plan.
They
are in there as well. They have a specific. I didn't know that. That's what you're looking at.
I'm just looking at stakeholder list. Target stakeholder outreach.
If you look further in Task 1 in the work plan, there's outreach efforts, and there's its own very own bullet point: Forest Park Conservancy outreach.
I confess I haven't digested all 20 pages.
That's
fine. But on the one page of stakeholders, they're not listed.
Right. Yeah,
but that's because they have a separate bullet.
They're super stakeholders.
They are.
Well,
totally.
I'm not trying to be flip. There are people who have long history with the park who care more than groups you're going to bring in to be in a focus group.
No question.
While those voices are important, I want to make sure that the people that have the history with the park have a particular seat at the table, because they're the ones with institutional memory about all of these struggles we've had with the plan, interpreting the plan, and other things. And since you're here, can I just ask you a related question? Because I've been getting a ton of emails about Forest Park, but it'll come as no surprise to you that they have nothing to do with your presentation today.
Okay.
They have to do with people's concerns that we're about to open up Forest Park to off-road cycling. And why are we why is the council getting those emails? Do you know?
I don't know exactly, except that our off-road cycling, Riverview, you know, we had off-road cycling, and then we closed that natural area to off-road cycling. And so we're trying to form right now an off-road cycling / bicycling plan for the whole city. And one of the areas that we talked about, we might be adding future trails, is in Forest Park someplace, not in this particular site, but possibly in Forest Park. So maybe that's the reason.
So could you furnish the council with a one-pager on that in the next
Absolutely.
Day or two? We're getting lots of emails, and again, having gone through those debates, I think it's very important that the council as a whole know where we are in that process, and also what kinds of things are on the table. And as you know, there's a difference between taking some fire lanes and adapting them and taking some other cherished hiking opportunities and trying to create a co-use. So I'm a little out of date from when I had parks, but in order to respond to those emails, if I could get an update, we could all get an update on where you are, what's being considered.
And if possible, could we also see the emails? Is that possible? So we can see the types of topics?
Commissioner Fritz has been getting the same ones we're getting.
Okay, great.
I normally look to her answers in these areas for my answers, but because I don't know the substance of what's being considered, and I'll forward on a couple of, because they're form emails, and we're getting a lot of them.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments? Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
So I'm glad we had a light agenda this morning and had a chance to have this discussion, because I want to return to a couple of points that my colleagues made here. First, I completely agree with you, Commissioner Fish, that we shouldn't revisit the master plan ad hoc backdoor through this.
Don't even say that word, Mayor.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to break
that.
Well,
that's right. It would do what a Multnomah County commissioner with a gift for garbled syntax once described as really opening Pandora's can of worms. and
Commissioner Barra. Yogi Barra.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to open Pandora's can of worms.
Oh, and I don't even want to do it indirectly.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to sort of
don't
do a piecemeal and open it up on a corner and say, well, that's now the framework for a larger.
That's a bad idea. And then, although I'm, along with a couple other people up here, Mr. Transit Bike and Walk, most people are going to get to Forest Park by car for the foreseeable future. They do now. And they will at this visitor center as well. So I want to second Commissioner Salzman's concerns there, and to flog my own point a bit further. That adjacent site looks pretty flat to me. If you need more parking, I think I know where you can find it. And I guess what you're hearing here from us, one, is you've got a council that cares a lot about this park. We work for people who do. So that's where we should be. But you know, two, we're a big city now. This is a big deal to finally develop a signature entrance to our signature park. And no criticism of you or any of the former parks commissioners up here, or much less the current one who's not here to defend herself. But if you look back at the history of Forest Park, which, if the story is apocryphal, it's so good we should even keep telling it if it's not true. Apparently, we got the first 2,500 acres 40 years after the Olmsted plan, because the developer went broke, and somebody over at Multnomah County Assessor called somebody at the Portland Parks Bureau and said, we've got this 2,500 acres that is going on the auction block because the developer went broke, but I thought there was a plan for that to be a park. Do you want this? And the person on the other end of the phone at the city, whose name I don't know, maybe is unknown to history, had the good sense to say yes. But actually, that story illustrates my point, which is that if you were going to come up with a cynical slogan for Parks Bureau's management of Forest Park over the last 60 years, it would be developing a world-class landmark on the cheap. Because that's what we've done. We've relied on volunteers to pull ivy. You know, we rely on the indulgence of neighbors to allow people to park at entrances. We've gotten property by deeds and acquisitions and gifts. We haven't really gone out and bought very much of it, if any. And so now we've got a world-class landmark, biggest urban natural area in city limits, blah, 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 and we're finally going to spend some real money. Let's do it right. So, again, if you have to spend more to do more, in this case, I think you probably have a city council that would help you find a way to do that, and maybe a Parks Foundation that would, too, because we have a world-class landmark where you have to, because we haven't built the Barbara Walker Bridge yet, get down to Burnside, look both ways, hope that nobody's speeding, and make it across before the car comes around the corner. We have ad hoc entrances on gravel here, there, and everywhere, and not a real one. So please, I hope there's a consistent theme here, which is, you know, really do this right and let your designer do their job. I take Commissioner Fisher's points about public involvement. We're all for it. But this is for the next 100 years, not for those of us who are showing up at meetings.
Mayor, can I add a point to your comments?
Please.
Recently, my daughter ran a half marathon at Sobeys Island, so we drove on the industrial road to get there. And one thing that I'm always struck by when I'm down there is it's a working industrial area.
Yeah.
It is not the most hospitable place for bikers and walkers.
Right.
And there's a lot of heavy trucks and other things. Now, my guess is if this is a wild success, then you're going to have school buses bringing kids. You're going to have people. It's going to become a destination. And because it's not as accessible as some other locations, like doing it up on Thurman or something, people are going to drive. So I concur with you. And because it is a relatively challenged area for driving and a place of active industrial use, I think we have to have the access by car, bike, and pedestrian worked out. Because if we build an entrance and we don't have that worked out, we're doing a disservice to people.
Yeah, good point.
And I with all due respect, I think that PBOT should be brought in to do an assessment of how we do get people there.
That's a good idea.
Yep. And we should have that worked out in advance. And the mayor has signaled pretty strongly that he's happy to spend some of your excess SDC money to acquire the site across the street for some parking. and I'm gonna support that. But let's do it right.
Okay.
And let's make sure. And we may even have to go down the street a little bit and condemn Saltzman Road. And
as long as we don't change the name.
But let's figure that out, because it isn't the most accessible location. And I think my colleagues make a good point. We got to have the parking and the access things worked out before.
Great. Thank you for the comments.
The comments or guidance. So again, it's nice we've had a chance to have this discussion, because it's a big deal and it's an important project for you, but for a lot of other people too. So thank you. Okay, does anyone else want to speak on this item? If not, then it's an emergency ordinance. We can approve them and getting to work and do so. So roll call, please.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for the presentation, and this is an exciting opportunity. But I will say flat out, 20 to 40 spaces is inadequate parking.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope when you bring back a construction contract, it's got more parking than 20 to 40. Otherwise, I won't support it. And this is a good effort. There's a lot of things going on here, but it is very important to make sure that people who want to use Forest Park can access Forest Park safely. And that's why I really seriously urge you to take a look at lockboxes, too, so we don't have people's cars being broken into while they're accessing our wonderful park. So thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Appreciate the lively discussion. And Commissioner Fish, yes, PBOT doesn't have nearly enough parking issues to occupy us, so we'll be happy to engage.
Especially in Northwest.
Aye.
Thanks for the presentation. Forest Park is a crown jewel, and we haven't had the resources to invest in it. And having an iconic entrance is important. I hope you'll engage RAC in the design. I was very excited to see the concept design, and when I asked if it was art, I guess I was reacting to the fact that it's very sculptural, and it's you're looking for an iconic image at the gateway of an iconic park, and there's an opportunity here to do something beautiful and functional. And so I hope you'll bring the Rack family into the conversation. And also, because it abuts an industrial area, I hope we look for those elements that are unique to that industrial area that we incorporate. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the mistake we make is we try to import all kinds of other well-intentioned themes and symbols from parts of the city that don't quite fit. And this face is an industrial area. And just like, you know, the greenway along in South Waterfront echoes a working harbor and that history. Mm-hmm. Let's try to capture that history of that proud tradition of an industrial district at that entrance and bring old and new together. But it's very exciting, and I'm delighted that with the building boom, we have the SDC revenues to be able to do projects like this. Yeah. Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Well, one plan we did revisit was the city's comprehensive plan. We just finished one phase of work on that. And I guess one other thing just we should all keep in mind, and you and our designer as well, and that is we're not designing this entrance and this park for the 630,000 people who live here today. We're designing it for the 850,000 people who will live here 25 years from now. So capacity and scale have to be different now that we're a big city. So, again, I hope you've gotten that message clearly from all of us this morning. This is an exciting opportunity to do it right for the long run. Good luck. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.